Well, we're talking about loving
boldly.
I got to tell you this story that someone related to me. I'll leave out the names just because they don't want to be embarrassed. Not that they would be embarrassed. I'm proud of them, to be honest with you. They're a student at Leon High School, and they're in a new teacher. He's been there about a year and a half, 2 years maybe. And at the end of the class the other day, the teacher says, "Now love one another." And this person, this young lady in our church, said, very loud. It was awesome. She didn't even think about it. She just a natural reaction. And then I think she almost embarrassed herself by saying it like that quick, you know. And the teacher said, "I like that. Where'd you get that?" And which was an opportunity to tell him about our church. Isn't that awesome? So love one another. It is one of the things that God teaches us and tells us to do. And it is something that, I don't know about you, but there's a certain part of loving people, and then there's a part where God's got to teach you to love people. Because you're limited in your availability to love people. And you need the help of God. So part of our theme of our church is live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another.
Boldly.
And we can't love boldly without the help of the Holy Spirit, and we can't love boldly without truth, without growing in truth. And that is the essence of what we're trying to accomplish in our small groups this session, or this fall. Last week we talked about one of the problems we have is how do we gauge spiritual life? And everybody has a different measure of how you measure spiritual life. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll begin to measure spiritual life by external gifts. He's a great preacher. He must be real spiritual. Not necessarily. They are really used in the gifts of God. They must be real spiritual. They have dreams and visions and all. Can I tell you, that is not the measure of real elite spirituality. Jesus made it very clear that love, they're going to know you are my disciples by your love one for another. So it really isn't a whole lot about all this stuff. Even though that stuff's important, that is a good thing to be used by the Holy Spirit and to be used by God. Nothing wrong with that, but don't get your priorities out of whack in relationship. Oh, I've been used for God. I can treat people like dirt. Did you hear me? Because you bear the witness of Him who loves us. Aren't you glad He loves us? So that means we got to be children of obedience. We talked about that last week. We are committed to brotherly love. We're committed to brotherly love, and that you can grow in love. You can grow in love. And that's illustrated in our families. You get married, your love grows. You have a child, your love grows. You have another child, your love grows. And then you have grandchildren later on, and you really get big with your love stuff. It's just amazing how love can grow. But your love is not going to grow without doing. Without doing, without serving, without giving, without sacrificing some things. And then also, love won't grow without invitation. You got to invite people into your life. You got to invite God into your life. You got to, you know, most of us are pretty good. I invite God into my life, we give Him a slice of the pie and not the whole pie. He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole thing. Listen, when you invite Him into the whole thing, something supernatural happens. You become a river. Isn't that what Jesus said? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So I want you to understand, if you will make this your prayer, God, make me an instrument of your love. Amen. She says, here's what I know. I need to love my wife better. She didn't say amen, so that's pretty good. I need to love you better. You need to love me better. You guys are awesome. Don't get me wrong. Here's what we know. The biblical definition of love centers around the sacrifice of Christ. At the end of the service, we're going to have communion together. We're going to celebrate his death, his gift of life to us. He told us to do it. Amen. And we have open communion here. That means this. You don't have to be a member of our church to partake of communion. All we ask is this, because this is what the scripture asks, that you know him, that you have a relationship with you. If you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very simple. Ask him into your heart, the invitation to experience his love. Amen. Just ask him in your heart. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord that God has raised him from the dead. And the scripture says, thou shalt be saved. Not an if, not a maybe. Thou shalt. It's a promise. Aren't you glad? Amen. You see, the goal of God's love is the redemption of man. The redemption of man. To spend eternity, God's goal is to spend eternity with you. Think about that for a moment. The reason Jesus died is not so that this life will be better. I mean, you know, this life will be better with Jesus. But not everything goes good in this life. And there are a lot of things that have happened in my life that I just didn't appreciate very much. And heaven's going to make it up to me. Can I tell you, heaven is going to make it up to you? God saved us for eternity. For eternity. And because he loves us with his word. The Bible, from beginning to end, it's a love letter to you. God speaks. You know what that means? Love speaks. Love speaks. It's hard to love someone you can't have a conversation with. You've got to be able to commune with, have a conversation with, and God initiates the conversation by sending his word into your life. Praise God for his word. Therefore, he loves in action. You can't love without action. We said it last week. Love is an action verb. You can't display love. You can't show love without acting, doing something for the sake of another. That's how God did it. He loves by being truth. I mean, you know, it's nice to know that God's not going to change in the next minute. Now, I know some people who are good at changing. You know, you see them one moment, and the next time you see them, and they're totally different, and you think, where did that guy, what happened to that? That's why James says this, a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Aren't you glad there's a foundation in God that doesn't change? Hallelujah. You see, we understand that. See, here's the deal. When God loved me, I didn't deserve it. Think about that for a moment. You don't earn God's love. God is love. Do you hear me? And some of us base our love toward others on what they do for us. And if they don't do something for us, if they don't do right, then we don't love. How many know that is not God love? That's fleshly love. That's a payment reward system that works. And that is the sabotage of a lot of marriages. Well, if he'll just wash the dishes, I might love him. Why don't you give him a reason to wash the dishes? Some of you are a little slow, but you're going to get there. It's amazing to me how we operate. We should love each other. But we want to penalize each other. And we do that by withholding ourselves. Love never withholds. It gives. It shares. It communes. It has a conversation. It gives. God, teach me what it is to love the way you love, Lord. Amen? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for just the special people. Just the people who did what he asked them to do. For us. Can you say hallelujah? For us, you wretched thing, you. For us, you know what I mean? Who didn't have any hope, who didn't have a promise of tomorrow, who were born liars, and a bunch of other stuff. He died for us. Amen. He did it. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. By this we know the love of God, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Whoever has world's goods and sees his brother in need, but closes his heart of compassion from him, how can the love of God remain in him? My little children, let us love not in word and speech, but in action and truth. Man. You see, there are several words in the New Testament that have to do with love. One of them is agape. You've heard of that. That's the love of God. And it's that love that just never ends. It's God type love. And then there's the phileo, which is friendship. And the result of friendship is to do good. I'm glad I have a lot of friends. They're not here today. No. There you go. Yeah, I'm glad I have a lot of friends. And here's, you know, the truth of the matter is you can have real close friends. I mean, people that are very close, about five. They're just your intimate friends. You can have five of them. After that, it gets real complicated. And then you can be associated with about 20 people that you can just know about their lives and so on and so forth and who they're married to and all that kind of stuff. And really that 20 people indicate about 100 to 120 people that you know or associated with. It's amazing how God has designed us for relationships. And the real curse of the American society today is loneliness. Thank God for my family of faith. I don't have to walk alone. I don't have to walk alone. Now, sometimes I have to pursue that friendship. I have to invite that friendship in. And when I'm struggling, what the easiest thing for me to do is hibernate, cocoon myself in somewhere. That's when I know I need to have a cup of coffee with some friends. We have to do that. For what? For our own health, our spiritual health. So we need these. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, talking about brotherly love. Listen to this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all the people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. That means you should treat one another better than the stranger on the street. Because we're the household of faith. We're family. We're family. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. God is love. We call that one of the attributes of God. Listen to it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God, say it with me, because God is love. Aren't you thankful for that? It's love. We call this one of the attributes of God. Now think about it. God has about 11 attributes that are talking about. God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere all at the same time. You can't hide from God. He sees you. Don't forget that, all right? He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. No secrets with God. You might be able to hide from this person or that person, your spouse or somebody else or your mom or your dad, but you ain't hiding from God. He knows everything. Now think about that. He sees everything and he knows everything. Now here's what he knows. This is what the Bible says that he knows. He knows the thoughts and inclinations of your heart. You talk about the ultimate mind reader. If that ain't scary, I don't know about you, but that's scary to me. He knows everything I think. And I mean, you know what? Sometimes I don't think very nice things. How many know it's one thing to think something? It's another thing to do something. And if you don't learn to arrest your thoughts, you will end up doing things that displease him.
Amen.
That displease him. So God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. There's this other thing about God that he's immutable. That means he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's holy. He's righteous and just. Aren't you glad of that? He's righteous and just. He treats you fairly. The scripture says that he's goodness, he's truth, and he's love. Hallelujah. And we know his love through his actions. He laid down his life for us. And what does John tell us? And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. That's the body of Christ. He gives himself up. It's the foundation of how he makes us into his children. He sacrificed. He led the way. The scripture calls him the first fruits. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you belong to him?
Yes.
And I'm glad I know his love. And here's the deal. The more of his love I know, the more of his love I realize I don't know. Because there's more to be discovered about the love of God. Isn't that awesome? It's unfathomable for us to do it, understand it, comprehend it. But it's a wonderful thing to experience it. Amen? He makes us his own. We belong to him. Glory to God. Think about it. When this world is said and done, the only thing going to be left over from this world is you and I. Amen? All the fine houses? Nah. All the wonderful things of creation? Nah. The only thing he's taken out of here is his church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We belong to him. He makes us. His love is the beginning of the transformation of our life through his grace. He makes us free in the truth of his redemptive grace. We lay down our lives one for another in serving others, the body of Christ. His church is made evident to the world. We are God's love on display. And sometimes we don't do a good job of doing that. Help me to love you better. Help us to love one another better. So many times we've bitten the fruit of the world. What's in it for me? I want to go to a church that serves me. I want to see what they could feed me. You know, it's interesting. Jesus told his disciples, I have meat that you know not of. As he's sitting there having a conversation with a woman that nobody else would have a conversation with in his state as a Jewish man. He was serving somebody the message of eternal life. And he was getting fed. He was getting fed through his service. We will learn to be fed when we learn to serve in love. Serve in love. I love serving people. And probably the best thing I love to do is cook breakfast for people. I just think it's wonderful to serve people. And it's those small acts of service that speak bold in people's lives. Amen? Amen. You see, you and I are to act like God. Look what he says, 1 John. He who has material possession and sees his brother in need and doesn't do anything, he doesn't love God and he doesn't know God. See, the knowledge of God makes you what? Do what God does. When God sees people in need, he responds. He sends somebody to care, to do, to help. This is the self-sacrificing characteristic of love. Love helps you keep the stuff of your life in right priority. Love helps you see with a response. Seeing a need is not enough. When you have material blessings, you've got to respond. I have to say, sometimes you need to respond with this. No. I can't do that for you. Because if I do that for you, it makes you dependent upon me. And God wants to raise you up to be a man or a woman of God. Aren't you glad God's told you no several times? More than a several. Amen? Yeah. You see, love knows that. Love manifests itself in compassion, a heart of compassion, feeling for others when they hurt. That's why the Bible says, when you mourn, I mourn. When we weep, we weep. When we rejoice, we rejoice. Why? We're brothers and sisters. We feel what each other feels. Yeah. In John 15, 13, it says this, greater love hath no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Wow. To not respond to a brother in need means you don't know God. Why? Because love is action. Coupled with truth. You and I are called to grow in the truth of God's love. That means as we're learning of God, we are displaying the love of God. That's a process of learned behavior empowered by the Holy Spirit makes us and gives us the ability to change the world. Love, the power agent of God. Growing in the truth of God's love, learning about God, growing in truth should mean you are growing in love. It would be a terrible thing if you knew everything about Scripture in your head and didn't know how to display his love. Yes, growing in love means you do the right things. And this is what, you know when you're stuck, when you keep doing the things you know that are not loving. You've been trapped into that mode of operation. You keep doing the things that are not loving. We kind of get trapped into that mode with the people that we live with, that we work with, that know us quite well. It's because we don't pay attention to how we speak, the tone by which we speak, and the actions of the people when we're closest to. We have to be careful. Growing in truth centers your focus on a godly perspective. Titus, listen to this. Titus 1:15. To the pure, read it. To the pure, all things are
pure.
Amen. You know, there are some people who think they're experts at reading people's cover. You know that old saying that says you can always tell a book by their cover? And some people meet you the first time and they think, I know exactly who they are and what they are. Listen to me. Be careful. Be careful. I know people that the first thing they see when they see a lady is not pure. Because they've so polluted their mind with the uck of this world, they need a transformation of his grace. To the pure, all things are pure. Matthew 5:8 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise God. It's amazing. You know what? You can see God in a lot of things. I see God in my grandchildren. I see God in your giving. I see God in your worship. I see God in all kinds of things. Why? Because when you're focused on, when you're intent on, when you're devoted to, when your heart is ready to receive and your heart is pure, you begin to see things that are pure. Pure. God is good that way. Here's the other thing I know that love does. Love takes time to see. Sees your brother in need. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've been too busy to see someone who needed something, who needed a prayer, who needed a handshake, who needed encouragement. You see, if the enemy can keep you that busy, he can make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. Yeah, Jesus. One of my favorite stories of Jesus is in John. Nathanael's coming to him, and he says this of Nathanael. Nathanael, while you were underneath that tree, I saw you. You know what my question is? I wonder what Nathanael was praying under that tree. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? He says, in him, there is no guile. There's no ugly in his heart. Don't you want God to say that about you? Jesus was there under the tree with him. Heard the conversation. I saw you under the tree. Come follow me. Aren't you glad God sees? Huh? He saw Simon and Andrew casting their nets. And he says, follow me. He saw Matthew. Can I tell you, Matthew was not one of the favorites of the disciples. They wouldn't have picked a tax collector, a cheat, you know, because he was a robber of people. And they wouldn't have been the one first on the list to be chosen to be an apostle, a disciple of Jesus. But Jesus said to Saul, Matthew, and he said, come follow me. And he left everything and followed Jesus. Aren't you glad he showed up at your door too? Huh? Come follow me. Someone touched Jesus and he turned around and saw her and said, your faith has made you whole. He saw the crowds and had compassion on them. He had compassion. He saw the disciples struggling on an oar of a boat against the storm. And he came to them walking on the water because he saw their struggle. He sees your struggle today. You may not be on the end of an oar, but you're in the middle of something. And if there's one thing God wants this servant to say to you, is that he sees you. He is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And you're going to make it. Because he knows how to show up, walking on water if necessary. He's that kind of God who loves you so intensely. You're not alone. Love sees. Love sees your brother in need. Love sees the expression on somebody's face and know there's pain on the other side of that. Love sees a couple whose jaws are locked in bitterness and prays that somehow his love will break through. I'm glad to know his love can break through. He sees. He doesn't just see. Oh, that's interesting. He sees with intention to heal, to change, to transform. He sees because he is the God who not only sees everything and knows everything, he is the God that is all powerful. And I believe his love is the continuous, active power of God in our world, in our lives, in our situations. It's never wrong to invite his love into our world, into our pain, into our struggle. We need him to teach us what love is. Amen?
Amen.
You see, when we love and when we act in love, his power shows up.